While on vacation last week, one of the things I did was a little self-study book that was called Unlearning to Draw. And it talked mostly about how we force, when we try to draw something as adults, we try to force it to look like it's supposed to look, and so we just really all of a sudden can't draw anymore. The book says that you have to change your way of seeing and your perspective. It says this: when we blink, what changes is not the distant, but the nearby. Television would have us stop blinking altogether, encouraging us to rely on someone else's view of the world. And then it goes on to talk about how that can help you in your drawing. It asks you to blink instead of only seeing what the culture wants you to see. Following Jesus should change our perspective on everything. It should change the way we see not just the distant, but the nearby. It should change even the way we see the most familiar and comfortable things in our lives. Jesus asks us to change that perspective. He asks us to blink instead of accepting someone else's view of the world, even if that view is the view of the vast majority. In the gospel today, to another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one puts a hand to the plow. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Change your perspective entirely. Blink. The key to all of the components of this gospel passage read today, the key is single-mindedness. Jesus single-mindedly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He rejected the disciples' idea to harm others who were not accepting of them, teaching them instead to move on and to refocus to be single-minded. This passage is about Jesus teaching us through his example single-mindedness of purpose. The theologian Soren Kierkegaard said, "Purity of heart is to will one thing." That is what Jesus is talking about here, to see everything in God's light, to put God first ahead of all of our other priorities, to blink and to see something different. It sounds like a great restriction, what he describes, but it is in truth absolute freedom. What Jesus suggests in this change of perspective takes us out of defining ourselves or our significance through anything or anyone in the material world. God defines us. Now, in our culture, we have come to think of freedom as the ability to do anything we want. But that freedom often means that we're driven by every whim, by every desire, and by every person we want to impress. Christian freedom isn't freedom from relationships, from taking care of other people. It is a freedom that deepens every relationship we have. It changes our perspective on those close relationships. Anthony DeMello, in the book Awareness, talks about the freedom of seeking the truth, the real truth, instead of seeking just to agree with other human beings. He speaks of obstacles to the truth. He says, "All I can do is give you a description of your falsehoods so that you can drop them." He goes on to say that Jesus proclaimed the good news yet was completely rejected by most of culture. not because it wasn't good, but because it was new. DeMello says, we hate the new. We don't want new things, particularly when they're disturbing, when they involve change. And Jesus isn't asking us just to change the details, but to change our whole perspective on what is important. The gospel and the epistle today are not about rejecting the concerns of the flesh, the material, because those concerns interfere with the spiritual. These readings are about living the material life in a way that fully incorporates the spiritual, bringing the spiritual to bear in our relationships, in our finances, in our work, in our play. Everything is seen through the eyes of God first, and that changes and deepens all the relationships we have. It requires, though, our not seeing as the rest of the world wants us to see. We have all experienced a very subtle loss of freedom. We've even grown to expect and embrace it. We are bound often by expectations, our own or those of others. We are bound and convinced that we want what the marketers tell us we want. And so if we are to change and follow God, we have to look first to see what controls us, what influences our decisions. Not to see through our own eyes or through the perspective of others, but to see through God's and to sift for the really important values of life. This change in perspective was a very hard lesson, even for Jesus' friends during his earthly life. What about their jobs? What about their families and their own lives? And yet, he harshly tells them that all previous priorities have to be subjugated to this one new priority, this one new way of seeing, this new uncomfortable way of seeing. He asks them to commit to God, even if it means sacrificing on every earthly front. Jesus asks us to blink, to change our perspective instead of using the filters. I would call them the blinders imposed by American culture. If we truly want to follow Jesus and love God above all else, we have to think about what must change. What must we leave behind? Are we willing fully to follow Jesus if it means giving up what we value now, especially familiarity, especially our need for others to believe that we know everything? Maybe we are willing, individually and as the greater church, to embrace change, to follow Jesus. Maybe we can find the courage to at least partially leave behind work and family and familiarity and comfort to follow Jesus. But first we have to admit that the way our world is headed is not what God wants it to be. We are asked to follow Jesus. But to do that first, we have to blink. Amen.